Strange Tales.
RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Back to Strange Tales. Thank you for joining me once again. We'll hear this week from Favorite Story, an NBC series of 156 episodes that aired from July of 1946 to November of 1949. Our story today is Aladdin's Lamp. This one aired October 11th, 1948. This
is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Coffee houses of Baghdad on the sloping banks of the River Tigris, this story was first told 1,000 years ago. And in a coffee house on Euclid Avenue on the banks of the Cuyahoga River, a member of the Cleveland Indians baseball team heard the tale repeated and named it as his favorite story. The ball player is Rogers Hornsby, whose hitting record made baseball history. And his favorite story, the most memorable legend of the 1,001 Arabian Nights, The Adventure of Aladdin and His Wonderful Lamp. The music of Rimsky-Korsakov provides a tapestry to background the tale. Some nameless and long-dead storyteller of ancient Persia dreamed this adventure, which still excites, as it must have excited the first man who heard the story 10 centuries ago. It is Scheherazade who speaks to reveal the magic of Aladdin and his lamp.
I will tell thee a tale.
Thus did Scheherazade beguile the waking hours of the night with stories magical and strange. 1,000 nights in 1 did she enchant the mighty Shahryar, king of the Eastern Isles, with far-famed legends and wondrous fables of jinns and spirits, spells and incantations, of old Baghdad and the golden road to Samarkand. For it is told that there burned in Shahryar a terrible hatred for all of womankind. And each night he took in wedlock a lovely maiden of the realm, and each morning commanded that she live no more. And she was put to death. And there came a time when the kingdom of this angry monarch was bereft of maidens, for he had slain them all. But there was one maid, the loveliest of Allah's creatures, whose name was Scheherazade. She lived because she told Shahryar wonderful tales, like the story of Aladdin.
I will tell thee a tale, which beginneth when Solomon, mightiest of ancient rulers, seeing that his time on earth was running out, did summon unto him a most powerful genie. And this he did in a strange and magical way, for he took from the folds of his robe a lamp, and thereupon he stroked the lamp once, twice, and three times with his hand.
Master! I am come to do thy bidding. Speak, and whatever thou shalt command, that will I perform.
I have no more need of thee, spirit, for my days are at an end. But it is my will that thy magic shall not die with Solomon. Therefore, I direct thee to bury this lamp at some wild place, until one shall appear who carries on his face a mark which shall be like the crescent moon, and he shall be a creature of the streets. Do my bidding, spirit. Take thou this lamp, and away with thee.
Citron, buy my citron.
I have a lamp for sale. A lamp for sale.
Tell me, seller of fruits, what great event betides to bring such hordes of citizens here to this great square of Baghdad?
The blessed Harun al-Rashid's daughter, Princess Badr al-Badr, visits the bazaars today, and all desire to see her.
Ah.
Yes.
She comes. She comes, Aladdin.
I see her, mother. Oh, what beauty. What grace in her bearing. I would give my eyes to possess her.
Thou? Aladdin, the poorest wretch of Baghdad?
It is true. Aladdin is mad indeed to covet such a prize.
Come along, my son. Let us go.
I come, mother.
I come.
Peddler, that boy who trails the old woman there. Dost thou perceive the lad?
Why, it is only Aladdin, a good-for-nothing of the neighborhood, who bears upon his forehead a mark resembling the crescent moon.
Ah, what can you tell me of the lad? Where does he live?
By the alley of the flower merchant near the mosque of the apostle. But what is thy interest in this vagabond, Aladdin?
Methought he resembled a friend of my youth, and this might be his son. What is the boy's parentage?
He is the child of Caliphah, the tailor, who passed over to Allah only a year ago.
Caliphah. Yes, that was the name of my friend. How did this Caliphah appear?
A large nose.
Yes, that is he.
A great shock of hair.
My friend, precisely.
And a lisping of the tongue when he spoke.
My friend in every respect. I knew him as a youth.
In El Basra?
And that is where I knew him, in El Basra. I must go to his wife now to pay my respects to the family of an old friend. Yes, I knew thy blessed husband.
Allah preserve his memory.
He and I were mere striplings in El Basra.
It is odd that he did never speak of thee, stranger.
Not speak of Majrabi, who befriended him as he did me in all things. Even now a picture of thy husband dwelleth in my brain. I can vision that splendid nose, that great shock of hair, and hear that lisping of the tongue when he spoke.
Oh, he was a good man, my husband.
May thy son, Aladdin, follow in his steps.
How can I doubt thou knew my dead husband for a friend when thou hast pictured him so lovingly?
Tell me, Aladdin, how came thou by that strange mark upon thy forehead?
I know not, Majrabi. It has always been with me.
It did appear at the moment of his birth.
And does it give thee hurt, my son?
Only, Mashrabi, when I walk in the desert beyond the north gate of the city.
In my time, I have given much study to the science of medicine, and I would probe the cause of this moon-shaped scar upon thy temple by gazing upon it during the moments it pains thee. Therefore, tomorrow, we shall go into the desert, Aladdin and I, and observe this crescent mark. Aye, we shall observe it well.
Lift up thy feet, Aladdin. The desert sands are deep.
Yes, Mashrabi.
Does it pain thee yet, Aladdin?
No, not yet.
Do not slow thy step, my boy. Walk, walk. Does it pain thee yet?
No, I... Yes. Now it pains. The mark upon my head throbs like a pulse.
And this is the moment.
Oh, Mashrabi. There is a great stone beneath the sand. And it is lifting up. Why, there is a gaping hole at our feet, and steps that go down into that hole. I think, Mashrabi, I wish to go away from here.
Oh, come back!
Yes, sir.
Listen to my word. Go down into this vault, and thou shalt find thyself in a great garden whose trees bear leaves of purest gold. And at the end of the garden, there is a passageway which leads to a ladder, at the top of which rests a lamp. Go straight to the ladder, mount it, and secure the lamp. Do not stop to pluck the golden leaves, but return with the lamp at once. Go!
I go, Mashrabi. Oh, God of my father, and of my father's father, protect me in this enchanted place.
Aladdin! Make haste! Etch me the lamp!
Yes, Mashrabi, I hear thee. I am nearing the ladder which leadeth up to the lamp. Why, there it is. Can this be the lamp on which my father's friend put such value? Why, 'tis a most ordinary lamp. All dirty, too, and faded. It needs a luster. Here, I'll just clean it up a bit and rub away the dirt.
Master!
Oh.
What wilt thou have of me? For I am come to do thy bidding.
Who art thou, monstrous spirit? I beg thee, do not slay me.
Hear me not. I am the slave of the lamp, and there is no magic I cannot perform for thee. Speak thy desire, for I am thine to command.
Then, spirit, who is the stranger Mashrabi? He that awaits me above and desires this lamp.
He is an evil wizard, come from Barbary to steal the lamp from thee. Knowing I must serve him then. He is no friend of thine, Aladdin, but will slay thee when the lamp is his.
Then I beseech thee, spirit, to put a wind under this wizard and blow him back to Barbary, for I would spare him his life. And take me, Aladdin, to the house of my mother, inside the walls of Baghdad. Canst do this, spirit?
Already, master. The magician is returned to Barbary.
Oh.
And now I shall convey thee from out this place to the house of thy mother. Hold fast to the lamp and away!
We're bringing you the favorite story of a distinguished baseball hero, Rogers Hornsby. It's the tale of Aladdin and the wonderful lamp, one of the 1001 Arabian Nights entertainments. The Arabs themselves have an art name for these stories. They call them the 1001 Kurafas. Now, in Arabic, Kurafa means, are you kidding? Or a rough equivalent. Which leads us to think that the Arabs considered these pretty tall stories, even in the day when the stories grew much taller than they do in our times. Shall we return to Baghdad? In the chambers of King Shahryar, the lovely Scheherazade continues her story.
Let me tell thee of Aladdin, my king, whose love for the princess Badr al-Badur was even more upon him. And Aladdin commanded the slave of the lamp to prepare a dish, heaped high with jewels of prodigious size and blinding brilliance. And thereupon, Aladdin instructed his mother to carry the gems to the court of Harun al-Rashid and seek audience with the Sultan.
I am informed it is thy wish to see me, old woman. What is thy desire?
My son, O king, desires the princess, thy daughter, in marriage.
What sayest thou?
O Sultan, he made me come here, though I warned him against it, saying the princess is already pledged to the vizier's son. Therefore, how may you hope that she can be thine?
I would be angry with thee, woman, were I not amused. The hand of my daughter, forsooth. Thy son must be an idiot. What is that you hold in your hand covered up with a cloth?
A token which my son Aladdin hath prepared as a gift for thee, glorious king.
And what shall this be? Some sand of the desert, perhaps? Lift up the covering, old lady.
As you desire, my grace.
By the Almighty, jewels, the like of which I have never seen for size and beauty. My treasury does not contain a single one to equal them. What say you to this, Vizier?
They are a fair size, my lord.
Of magnificent size, Vizier. And this Aladdin who hath produced them must be a rich and noble youth. He shall have my daughter.
But, Majesty, she is promised to my son. The nuptials are arranged.
The contract is broken. The princess hath expressed no great liking for thy son, Vizier. And it is mostly thy ceaseless harpings on this match that have reconciled me to it. But a man who can fill my storerooms with gems such as these far better deserves the princess. Tell thy son, good lady, that he shall have her. I command him to come to me that I may embrace him and confer on him my blessing.
And Aladdin was wed to the princess, Badr al-Badur. And the princess was smitten with Aladdin, even as he with her. Aladdin, my heart, my husband, I do adore thee.
As I do thee, light of my life, my wife, my mistress, as I am thy prince, thy slave. I shall love thee when my bones are dust, when the perfumed cities of the east have sunk beneath the sands. The lingering winds shall whisper tales of Aladdin's love for thee. So much do I love thee, my dearest, my own.
And one more miracle did Aladdin perform with the lamp. And it was this.
Slave of the lamp, I command thee, place on the empty ground opposite the palace of the king a mighty castle, which shall be the glory of the world, and it shall house my wife and me unto the end of our days. This I ask of thee.
My castle awaits thee.
And in this castle, Aladdin and his princess lived happily for many months. But in the land of Barbary, still dwelt the magician Mazrabi. And when he heard of the fortune which had come to Aladdin, he knew it was the doing of the lamp, and he resolved that he should revenge himself on Aladdin. This time, he said,
"This time I shall not fail."
Who will exchange old lamps for new?
Why, is that beyond the castle gate?
I am a vendor, my lady, who gives new lamps in exchange for old.
Indeed. I have noticed a scarred and tarnished old lamp, which standeth in my Lord Aladdin's chamber.
Ah, give it to me, my lady. And here is a new one, bright and gleaming for thee.
What a witless tradesman thou art, vendor.
Is the lamp I seek, the very lamp of Solomon. And now, Aladdin, thou mongrel knave, all is finished with thee, for I shall fix thy fate before I put this lamp to any other use. I am to the desert now, away from the eyes of men, to work my scheme. I command thee, slave of the lamp, take thou Aladdin's castle, together with the princess who dwells within, and set it down in Barbary, 1,000 leagues from here, myself with it. Thus shall I be revenged on Aladdin.
I am reluctant to obey thee, wizard, but I am pledged to serve the lamp, and I will work thy will. Let the castle of Aladdin be lifted from the place on which it stands, and put down in Barbary.
My king, oh, my lord sultan, I bring thee calamitous tidings.
What is it, vizier? Thy cheeks are ashen and thy lips tremble.
Hast thou gazed through thy windows this day in the direction of the castle of thy son-in-law, Aladdin?
No, I have not.
Look out upon it, I beseech thee.
Aye, Allah. There is nothing. Nothing there at all save empty ground.
I have always suspected that this Aladdin for whom thou cast out my son was a necromancer and a dealer in blackest magic. I have always thought so, my king. And now here is the proof of it.
Where is Aladdin now?
He is hunting in the field.
Have him seized, chained up, and brought to me at once.
I will slay him, my lord, on sight. I swear.
Oh, bring him to me. I would question him. But... enough talk. Bring Aladdin here. Be off with you.
My sultan, how have I sinned against thee that I am dragged in disgrace through the streets of the city to thy gracious presence?
Villain, gaze out the window.
Out the window? Yes, Majesty. Sacred Allah, my castle vanished.
Aye. Dispersed by some black magic, I think. Where is my daughter? What cruel fate has befallen her?
I cannot answer. This is a strange, unholy thing. And I beg thee leave, my emperor, to go out into the land and seek out the mystery. For thy daughter is more precious to me than life itself.
It is a trick, my lord, to gain freedom.
Without my wife, there is no freedom. On Allah's name, I swear that if in 40 days I do not find thy daughter, I shall return to thee and suffer any torture thou shalt devise for me, and death itself.
I believe thee, Aladdin. Take thy 40 days.
And Aladdin went forth to seek the lost princess in the missing castle. And he wandered across the face of the land. And when 30 days had come and gone, he found himself in the African country of Barbary. And he was tired unto death, and laid himself down in the black of night under a tree. And in the morning when he awoke, he found himself on the edge of a garden, and beheld before his eyes...
my castle! Here in this savage land. I have found it.
Cease thy weeping and moaning, lady. Thy husband Aladdin is slain by thy father. And now thou shalt confer thy favors on Majrabi.
Then may I die, magician, For never will I give myself to thee.
Oh, consider my love for thee, lady. It overcomes all obstacles, as thou shalt learn.
It is the voice of my beloved.
No, no, I'll not have thee. Take thy hand from me. Oh, blessed Allah. Where is my Aladdin at this moment?
Here, O wife. Come to deliver thee from this scoundrel.
Aladdin.
Bear thy sword, wizard, and say thy farewells to life.
Oh, no.
Thou art a coward, then, and must die twice over.
The lamp. I'll have thee dissolved in a blaze of fire. I'll rub it once, twice.
Take my blade in thy heart, villain. And good riddance to thee.
Aladdin, thou hast slain him. The magician lies dead.
Turn thy eyes from this sight, my love. For now the lamp is mine again, and I shall summon the genie. Genie, I rubbed thy lamp twice and three times. Appear and hear my wish.
Master! What is thy will?
Lift up this castle, spirit, and return it to the city of Baghdad, opposite the palace of the illustrious king Harun al-Rashid. And let the streets of the city be festooned with flowers of the rarest hue. And let there be feasting throughout the kingdom to celebrate the return of the Princess Badr al-Badur and her prince, Aladdin.
It shall be done.
And it was done. And Aladdin dwelt with his wife and knew the love of his people unto the end of his days.
And so enchanted was Shahryar with his tale of Aladdin that he ordered that Scheherazade should live. And Shahryar ordained that the stories of Scheherazade be inscribed on parchment and called the marvels and wonders of the thousand nights and one. And it was done as he commanded. Alhamdulillah. Allah be praised. And all this goes to prove that 1,000 years before radio was invented, the daytime serial was already in existence. Or perhaps the nighttime serial would be a better name for the cliffhangers of Scheherazade. At any rate, we want to thank Rogers Hornsby, the Shahryar of baseball, for choosing Aladdin as his favorite story. To my way of thinking, one of the world's greatest storytellers was Robert Louis Stevenson. And next week, on Favorite Story, you'll be invited to join the Suicide Club with its membership of doomed men, united in a common dread, the fear of the Ace of Spades. The noted humorist S.J. Perlman chose the Suicide Club as his own favorite story. We hope you'll be listening.
That's our strange tale for this week. Hope you liked it. I'll be back next Sunday with a story from Inner Sanctum. And between now and then, you can find more from Favorite Story, Strange Tales, all the other Relic Radio shows, and everything else we have going on. RelicRadio.com is where you'll find it all. You can donate through the website if you'd like to. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. It's what powers it all. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.